is a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada. Today's message is by Janae Lear, and she's entitled it, Honestly, I Just Want God.
I guess it helps, as I have kind of walked through a lot of life with her and with Joe, and it helps to see that what we think God wants from us may not be exactly what he does want. And the things that we want to bring him and the things that maybe we're proud of are not necessarily what he wants. He wants 100% of us. And I'm very thankful for the life that is coming out of Danae and what's happening with her. And I'm just really looking forward to how that has an impact and influence on us. And looking forward to hearing from you.
Cool. Oh, there we are. Good morning. It's good to see all of you. So, Louis asked me to share about a month ago, and I'm going to turn on my little iPhone here so I can see what time it is. My dad's a pastor, so one thing I've learned from him is you want to time yourself when you're talking. So here it is. I'm timing myself. Louis asked me to share. I have gone through quite a transformation from 3 years ago to today, and I'm very, very blessed to be up here sharing today. I feel like it is an end to a chapter of my life that has been very confusing and frustrating and full of turmoil. And it's really neat to be able to have kind of a point where I can know that this is ending. And I've been able to go back as I prepare for the speech and to really see and articulate what God has done and to see that it's done today. So it's cool. There's more chapters, I'm sure, that are going to come, but this one's ending. So pray with me. Father, I am just so thankful that you are here. I'm thankful for your faithfulness and for your love. I pray that you would guide our time here together this morning and that you would open up those areas in our hearts that you want to talk to each individual here today, Lord. We praise you. You are so good. Amen. So I've broken this speech down in three parts to kind of keep us focused. The first part is going to be that God wants us to run to him, not away from him. The second part is that God wants all of us. He wants every part of us. He wants our whole being. And the third part is that God will be faithful to us. And I have talked about these things very briefly when I lead communion. They've just been what I've been learning. And so today I'm going to kind of put it all together. Those three things, God wants us to run to him, not away from him. God wants all of us, and that God will be faithful to us, are things that I think as Christians, I know myself, it's so easy to hear them. They're so familiar. They go right over our heads instead of hitting us in the heart. And we can just think, oh, yeah, I know those things. But in all reality, they tend to be what the farthest thing that we actually experience in our Christian life. So my prayer this morning is that you guys would kind of be able to experience this in a new way. I definitely have. And I've entitled this speech, Honestly, or How This Christian Finally Came to Know God. So I came to Hillside in 2009. 2009 was a horrible year for Joey and I. It seemed like everything that was happening to us was going wrong. And life that had been so easy all of a sudden felt like trudging through mud. Our marriage was not good. My relationship with my then one son wasn't good. I was pregnant with another one, and I was like scared to have it because motherhood was not what the Hallmark cards told me it was going to be like. It was infuriating, and I was terrified to have another child, especially bringing it into a relationship that I felt was very unstable. Financially, we were struggling. I like to say that we bought our house the day before the market crashed. And being so upside down all of a sudden, I mean, we were just dizzy, you know. We couldn't get our feet under us, and it was affecting every area. So By that time, I was still going to church. Joey wasn't. At first, he just didn't because his schedule couldn't allow it, but pretty soon he just wasn't. And I knew that we needed help, and at the time I was going to my dad's church, and I couldn't go to my dad. And I'll kind of get into that a little bit later. But I knew we could go to Louie because I knew my husband respected Louie. And so I called him, and I just was like, I didn't know how he was going to respond, but I said, hey, can I meet with you, with my husband? And he said, yes. And you don't even know how that yes just was such a relief, because I felt like for the first time I had somewhere to go. And so we started meeting with Louie, and that's how we came to Hillside. So I'm going to dive in a little bit to my past, just so you guys know where I came from. I was born and raised in Reno. My dad is a pastor and my mom's a school teacher. And I grew up in a very loving home. And what I thought for the longest time was perfect. And I functioned really well in this perfect Christian bubble. I knew what was expected of me. I knew what my dad wanted. And I knew what people in the church wanted. And I sat in the front row and I gave them what they wanted. And I wore what I was supposed to wear. And I said what I was supposed to say. And I didn't say what I was not supposed to say. And I was perfect. And I thought that that meant I was a Christian. And it was all under good intentions. I mean, I grew up even knowing that you're saved by grace through faith, not of works. I knew that. But it wasn't what I lived, even though I thought it was, if that makes sense. So another thing that wasn't addressed in this perfect Christian bubble and in my home growing up was conflict. Conflict wasn't addressed because conflict made you not perfect. So there was never any conflict in my home. And to this day, I still have a lot of issues with conflict. And if Joey even raises his voice with my boys, although I'm learning to appreciate it now, I want to go cry in the corner, because I never was able to experience and go through conflict and see a good ending. When there was conflict in my house and in my family, it was a war zone, and it didn't happen very often. And when it did happen, I went and I hid. And I see this played out in my adult life. It's ironic because I am a liaison. And so I go between the doctors and the hospital. And I am a person that they bring their conflict to. And this is all part of this story. I mean, God has been so faithful to me to allow me to trust him and to learn how to deal with conflict. But that was something that was not addressed. So I looked good. I did what I was supposed to do. I looked like the Christian that my dad wanted me to look like and that I thought that God wanted me to look like. And I didn't know how to deal with conflict. But I didn't know that yet. Not until I got married and had babies and started to experience life. So that brings me to my first point. God wants us to run to him, not away from him. All of a sudden, when I was outside of that Christian perfect bubble, and I was starting to deal with things that I had never been introduced to before, including my husband and his profession, which he's a cop, the yearnings of my heart to work and not stay at home with my children, that was a no-no in the circle I came from. Wanting to just wear what I wanted to wear and not be always having my dad's voice in my head going, those jeans are too tight, that nail polish is too dark. I didn't know how to deal with these things. And when we first sat down with Louie, one of the things that he told me is that God is not intimidated by our questions and our doubts and our fears and conflict. within us. He's not intimidated by that. Other people are and can be, but God is not. And so I started to bring those things that were hard for me to God for the first time. And I started to understand that God didn't want me dressed up in perfect, that He wanted me to come as I was, with my questions and my doubts, and He wanted me to run to Him with those things. Where at 2009, when I came to Louis, I had been running away. I didn't know I had been running away, but I had been running away because I didn't think God wanted those things. God doesn't want me when I'm like confused. God wants me when I'm happy and can serve and hug everybody. Right? So God wants us to run to Him, not away from Him. As I learned to run to God with any sort of turmoil or negative things that I was going through, it was very freeing to me. And I started to realize that God, He wants us to come and lay it all down. Our anger, our fear, all of those things that we try to cover up, right? He wants us to lay it all down. And only then, when we lay those things all down, only then is there an opportunity for authentic transformation and hope. Right there is the heart of Christianity, right? Right there. If we try to come to God and be all perfect, really, there's nothing there. There's no point, right? So, I mean, how freeing is that? How amazing is that? That we go and we can lay it all down before Him and know that He is going to do His work. He is the one that is going to take it. We lay it down. He takes it. He's going to do His work. We sit back. We watch and trust and hope. And He'll redeem it. So this whole time, I was wanting to do life right, when in all reality, God wanted me to not to do life right, but to do life with Him, to run to Him, to be honest before Him. So that's kind of leading into the third point here. God wants you and He wants all of us. He is not intimidated by our sin. He knew that we were not going to be able to be perfect, and that's why He sent Jesus. And it's so ironic as I'm thinking about all these things, because I'm like, well, yeah, this is just what it means to be a Christian. But I lived a Christian life for 26 years and was only now actually starting to understand what all of that meant. And as I come to understand more and more of that, there is such a sweetness and a stability in my walk with the Lord that was never there before. A while ago, I think it was like in January, Louis started talking about moving forward. And one of the things that he wanted us to do was just to be quiet and to listen to God. And as I did that, God spoke to me and He said, Danae, you're going to know My love and you're going to know My faithfulness. And walking through this last year, learning how to run to God when I want to go and hide from conflict. One example there. I have started to experience that sweetness and the stability, which is God's answer to what He said I would know. His love. That's the sweetness I'm just beginning to taste. The stability in my walk with the Lord is His faithfulness. I am experiencing His faithfulness. I've been able to stay at a job that I never would have been able to stay at. I've been able to stay in my marriage. I've been able to not run away from my children. All of these things, God has been so faithful to me. I've got a couple of examples that I want to talk about just to kind of explain these points. I was talking to an older Christian woman, and side note, all of these examples I'm giving, I realized this morning, are women that have husbands who are in the ministry, or like me, a dad in the ministry. And I think that there is a very unrealistic pressure on families in the ministry to have their lives look a certain way. And it's stupid. So so my first example here, I'm talking to this older lady. She's married to an elder, been a Christian for a very long time. And she came to me and she said, you know, Danae, she's talking to me about the situation where her sister ended up dying because the lab work sat on her doctor's desk while he was on vacation for 3 weeks. And in that time, her cancer had gotten really, really bad. And after he came back, she ended up dying a couple days later. And she was angry because she felt like her sister's life could have been longer if that envelope didn't sit on the doctor's desk. And she told me, she's like, I wish I could tell you that I was all spiritual and that I wasn't angry. And, but I wasn't, I was angry. And I'm thinking, why do we as a Christian culture think that anger is less spiritual than when we're all happy and joyful? Why? No, the Bible says be angry and do not sin. You know, God thinks that our taking our anger to him is just as much something that he wants as when we bring our joy and our thankfulness. It's the coming that matters. But as a Christian culture, I don't think we realize that. I think we put too much pressure to try to not address those things. And let us be human. We are human, right? My favorite author says we cannot be holy without being human first. Like I was talking about before, we have to lay those things down for there to be any opportunity for authentic transformation and change by God, not by us. Another example I have of another Christian friend, same thing. She's been doing this Christian thing for 13 years. She's married to a guy in the ministry. She's got 3 kids. She does the dinners. She does the Bible studies. And she's at a point in her life where she's thrown up her hands in the air and said, this isn't working, right? It's the same place I was at. My marriage wasn't working. Being a mom wasn't working. Like, what's the point, right? And she's feeling very alienated and rejected by her Christian community because she has come to a place where she's saying, you know what, this is not working. And they're thinking, oh, she's not going to the Bible study anymore. Pray for her, you know. When in all reality, what we should be doing in those situations with each other is saying, you know what, the place that you're in, that's the best place that you can be. Because right there is where God is going to meet you in, like, reality, right? That's where he's going to meet you, and you are actually going to have an opportunity to see God and know God in reality and not in showland over here, right? One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Genesis 32, when Jacob wrestles with God. And let me just read a little bit of it. It's a short little passage. That night, Jacob got up and took his 2 wives. See, right there, I can go, God, I don't get that, but sometime. His 2 maidservants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. And the man's God, right? But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." I love this because Jacob is holding on to God and he's saying, "I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'm not letting go until we get through this." And God likes that. God blessed Jacob. God said, "You've struggled with me, you've struggled with men, and you've overcome." That boldness to come to God and to say, "I'm not letting you go until we work through this." God blesses that. That's called faith. And that's what God requires of us. Not to look good, not to have it all together all the time. God requires faith. Walk by faith. Which kind of brings me to my next point. There's a lot of things in life that don't make sense. There's a lot of situations in life that don't make sense. And there's things that happen all the time that we are not planning for. And they're uncomfortable things. And they're things that we would rather not go through. But God will be faithful to you. Sometimes as we're walking through these things, it feels like the only, at least this is how I felt the last 3 years, that I'm not living on bread alone and water alone. I'm not living off of food. I'm literally living off of his word, right? Off of his promises. There were mornings when I would get up and I would be like, "Okay, God, here we go." And I'd open the Bible and I would, if you guys need some promises, some of the things that have been really influential and very good for me through all this is like Psalm 16, 18, 69, 71. I mean, the Psalms are so good because David's allowed to be human before he's trying to be holy, right? Before God is making him holy. So I would cling to the words and it would literally feel like even just to get up and get going with my children, I would have to have God's word in my head going, "I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to redeem you. Go, trust me. I'm with you." I learned how to wakeboard a little while ago, and that's how I feel like we have to hold on to these promises, right? You're sitting in the water before you get up on that boat and you're holding on to that triangle thing. And that boat, once you say, "Okay, I'm ready," it starts to go and you have to count to four, one, two, three, four, that you've got to get up. And the second you got to get up, you're holding on to that triangle thing with every fiber of your being, because if you don't, you're going to smack your face right in the water, right? So that is how I feel. And that's when we're walking through these hard times, that is how we must hold on to God's promises. And the second you start to doubt and the second you start to think, you're going to hit the water, right? You've got to hold on so tight to those promises. And what's cool about that is that God will be faithful to you. His promises will play out in your life, which is awesome. But we've got to keep our eyes on them. We have to keep our eyes and our hearts on those promises. Another good example of this is my husband and I just bought new laminate flooring. And we spent a lot of time looking at this flooring. We're finally at a place financially where we can like buy something nice, you know. So we spent a lot of time. Okay, what kind of floor do we want? It's easy to clean. You know, we've got two little boys. We bought this floor. It looks gorgeous. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. And about 4 months after we bought it, it was just disgusting. It was like milky and white. And we're thinking, what is going on? And I would come home from working every day and I would spend my entire evening trying to clean this floor only for it to look worse than it did before. And I got to a point where I couldn't even look at it. I had to like keep my eyes up because I couldn't look at the floor. And I thought, God, as I'm looking up, this is how it is with you. I can't look at the muck that is going on in whatever situation, right? If my marriage is having some issues, I can't focus on that. I have to be focusing on the promises that you said you are going to fulfill in my life. I have to keep my eyes off of those things, right? So anyway, my husband's so amazing, and he did some research and found this stuff that, like, actually cleans it. But that was a good example of that. You know, we have to keep our eyes off of the situation that we're in, but still bring whatever yuck is going on in us to God and lay it down at his feet and say, okay, I'm trusting you. You're going to do your work here. And he will. So let me check my little time. We're doing good. You will know my love. You will know my faithfulness. That is the promise that God told me at the beginning of the year. And it's just been so sweet to actually see that start to take place. And for me to know that, like I said, for the first time, I feel stable in my relationship with God and in my marriage and in my mothering and in my career. And I'm actually, for the first time, learning to experience God's love. You know, and to see his faithfulness played out in my life. And it's such a beautiful thing. It is so great. And I want you all to experience that too. You know, it's like, I don't know if your guys' experiences, if you see yourself in any of this, but it's been my experience, and I'm so thankful to God for what he has done and for bringing us to Hillside and for the opportunity to get to know some of you guys. It's been really good. So that's it. So, yeah.
I love the hope in your voice. Remember, our first conversation wasn't as hopeful. I want to encourage us to think on and meditate on what we just heard. It's a testimony of God's faithfulness. He is faithful. And when we fully entrust ourselves to him, he does what he says he will do. Others may let us down. God is faithful. He will perform what he says. Scripture in Psalm 34 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him will have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." I just want to remind us to seek the Lord. He's not hiding. He's not, again, intimidated by junk in our life. It's at the foot of the cross that we find wholeness, and we find restoration, we find healing, and then the great thing is God uses us to be a blessing and an encouragement to others to help them along in the process. And so we need him. We need each other. We need transparency. We need persistence. We need to be invested in his word, to meditate on it day and night, because the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, the thoughts and intents of our hearts. God's word never goes out void. And if we invest ourselves in it, not just to say, I did my 15 minutes, but to hide it in our hearts, there is a transformation that takes place. I want to encourage you in that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the testimony and for the encouragement that Danae shared. I ask you to cause your word to dwell richly in our hearts. I would pray, Lord, that you would strengthen the feeble, that you would encourage the struggling, that you would nurse along the broken, and Lord, that you would use us to be a part of that process with each other, with the people we come in contact with. I thank you for your faithfulness, and I thank you for what you build in us, and that in you we will have the strength to deal with whatever we need to each day.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.